We'll talk a bit about false prophets and those who are deceived by them. Look at Ezekiel 13 here, 22. God condemns the prophets, the false prophets, because with lies you have grieved the heart of the righteous, whom I have not made sad. Therefore, 23, you shall see no more false visions, nor practice fortune-telling, and I will deliver my people out of your hand. So, the Bible has a lot to say in both Old and New Testament about false prophets and false teachers. And because of that emphasis, a lot of those passages have been used to justify separation from ordinary people who are believers and yet are misbelievers, because they apparently hold false teaching. But I think the Bible does make a big difference between the false teacher and those deceived by the false teacher. So, here in verse 22, those who were deceived by these false prophets are called the righteous. And they had been lied to because these prophets were saying, look, I've had a vision from Yahweh and it says this. And they had grieved, they had upset the righteous, but they're still called the righteous. And then verse 23, I will deliver my people out of your hand. So then the righteous are called my people, and yet they had been deceived by the false prophets. Now, let's make no mistake, false teachers and false prophets of the kind described in Ezekiel 13 are absolutely culpable. They knew God's true word, and yet they preached a false message and said, and this is a message from Yahweh. And what they were teaching was absolutely wrong. They were saying that there was going to be peace when there would not be peace, as Ezekiel had made clear. They had, verse 14, they had plastered up the broken down wall with untempered mortar, or they had whitewashed it. They had tried to whitewash over the real issues that were separating God from his sinful people. And this kind of behavior is totally wrong. To preach peace with God on a wrong basis, that's verse 10, they seduce my people saying peace when there is no peace. This kind of thing is absolutely culpable. But the question I want to explore is, what about the people who are genuinely misled by them? Well, I think they are in a different category. There are such things as unbelievers, and there are also misbelievers. Now, you can have a relationship, a perfectly legitimate relationship with a person, even if you may misunderstand them on some points. And I think that this becomes true for many Christian people who we would consider are believing false teaching. That doesn't mean that they necessarily have no relationship with God or Jesus, even though by grace our eyes have been opened to true teaching. And I want to just say that because if you go too far the other way, you end up saying that only my particular take on biblical interpretation is the truth, and therefore anybody and everybody outside of my community is in darkness and is not in fellowship with God. Look here, they believe this, that, and the other, which is not true. But there's a difference, as I say, between the deceiver and the deceived. Now, where exactly God sort of cuts off with a deceived person and says, look, you know, you have believed such a load of rubbish that I'm afraid this is not the gospel at all, this has nothing to do with me. Sure, I don't know where exactly that point is, and we don't have to explore that too much because we are not the judge of other people's relationship with God. All I can say is that a lot of the division that there is in communities, particularly the community that I've been involved in my life, is on the basis of quoting particularly New Testament passages about separating from false teachers. Yes, sure. Guard the platform. Don't allow any Tom, Dick and Harry to get up on the platform and teach wrong things. Absolutely. But those who are deceived thereby are clearly treated differently by God, as you see here in these two verses in Ezekiel 13, 22 and 23. They are called the righteous. They are called my people. But what I would say is that God does conclude, I will deliver my people out of your hand. In other words, God wants deceived people to not be so deceived, and he may very well lead them to those, hopefully like ourselves, who can teach them a better way. I feel that I have to mention this because I think a misunderstanding of these things has caused an awful lot of division which need never have been. Because somebody has been taught the wrong thing does not necessarily mean that therefore they believe in another God, another Jesus, or whatever. Who is culpable in all this is the false teacher. It's my view, therefore, that we should have a totally open table, an open attitude to anyone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not an open platform, not invite any Tom, Dick and Harry behind the podium to give their particular take. No, you've got to cut off false teaching. This is very clear from the New Testament, and it's also clear here in the Old Testament. But those who are deceived thereby, and let's face it, the majority of Christian people, believing people within the body of Christ and also in Old Testament times, the majority of people within Israel were illiterate people. They had to depend upon their teachers. They could not go to the original scriptures and sort out what exactly God's will was. They were not literate, and the Bible was simply not available. The text, such as it was at their time, was just not there on, you know, iPhones or whatever, on the latest gadgets. It was not all digitized. People were not literate. Probably didn't have time anyway to spend a lot of time on this kind of thing. They had to rely upon their teachers. And therefore, false teaching, particularly in this case, willfully stating false things and saying, yeah, this is actually the word of God, the word of Yahweh, that this was particularly awful and culpable, and those teachers would meet their absolute condemnation. But I think that we should draw a distinction between these kind of people and the ordinary mass of people who are deceived thereby. You can still have, as I say, a legitimate relationship with God, even if you have been falsely taught on some points. As I said, exactly where the cutoff point is, only God knows, and I don't think we should go too much into that. And I think that appreciating that difference and being careful who you listen to and who you allow onto podiums is different to who you would share the Lord's table with. Because I don't see that anything is particularly lost if somebody who misunderstands or has been mistaught takes bread and wine with you at the Lord's table, so be it. We are not the judge of who sits at the Lord's table. It is his table and not ours. But where we are in the New and Old Testaments asked to exercise wisdom and discretion and to judge righteous judgment is what teaching you listen to. Now, how do you decide? Well, by their fruits you shall know them. And when you look at particularly the New Testament teaching about false teachers, nearly always they are characterized not simply by wrong theology, they are characterized by immorality. You can see in their lives where they have gone wrong. And a lot of the false teaching here, for example, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 13, and also in the New Testament, was related to getting people to act in an immoral way, idolatry in the name of Yahweh worship, etc., etc. So I think that that was the litmus test, and I think that that continues today. It is someone's integrity before God, as far as you can perceive that, which encourages you to listen to them as a teacher.